Biz Takeouts, the biz community marketing and media show on 2OV.fm.
Good morning. Welcome to Biz Takeouts, the marketing and media show. I'm Warren Harding. Thank you so much for joining us this morning, looking at all the marketing and media news you need to know with you from right now, 9 o'clock to 10 o'clock on Two Oceans Vibe Radio. What's on the show today? So we're starting out with, we're chatting to Fred Rode, who's the CEO of Worldwide Creative. He's been on the show a good couple of times. We're not chatting to him about Worldwide Creative today. We're chatting to him about the IABSA Bookmarks 2016. He is the head of agency council at the IAB South Africa. So we're chatting to him about the bookmarks, the deadline, which is next week, Monday. So I know you're all thinking about entering, planning to enter, just haven't gotten to it yet. I've done my entries. I'm all finished. We chat to Fred to find out more about kind of the category changes, what else has changed with the entries this year. They got the one pager, what the bookmarks means, what judges are looking for, just some advice for you if you are entering the bookmarks this year. And then after that, we're chatting a whole different subject, something brand new on the show. We're looking at the hospitality industry. So we've got the brand manager of Premier Hotels and Resorts, Alan Campbell, who's joining us to talk about kind of the plans for the company, the challenges in the hospitality industry. We look at their loyalty program, which is coming out next year, which is aligning itself with their 25-year anniversary. Look at the history of the Premier Hotels as well. So stay tuned for that. Before we get to our guests in the morning, let's look at our top stories for the week of 23 November 2015 from bizcommunity.com. Our first story for the day is taking advantage of YouTube to build your brand. Obviously, YouTube, nothing new, gaining popularity. Google South Africa offers tips on how brands can successfully take advantage of YouTube's technology and audiences to market themselves and their offerings at a very low cost. So they've got 6 tips for you. It's about setting goals for your video, be authentic, promote your video, explore editing tools, keep it social, explore various opportunities to open your brand on YouTube. So obviously YouTube, massively important. Go check us out actually on YouTube. You'll see me on YouTube under Warren Harding. Go subscribe. There's a couple of things there now, but there's much more coming next year. We've got a lot of things in the pipeline starting Jan. So go subscribe to that. Search for me, Warren Harding, on YouTube for my channel. Our second story for the day, we have got top 5 ways to advance your content marketing strategy. So when it comes to content marketing, the most important element of a successful strategy is being able to balance what your company has to say and what your customers and potential customers want to hear. So here are the top 5 principles the company called Forward implores agencies to follow. Think beyond the campaign, adopt a silo-less attitude, outsource when internal teams are too busy, measure and interpret data, look after your reputation. So we all know content marketing is important. These are the 5 things that Forward recommend. Go check out the article, some decent advice there on content marketing. Our third story for the day, something quite new to me that I had to read, and that's why I thought it was interesting. Something called Design Thinking, Trend or Revolution. This is from Amandine Robin. She's saying with the increasing notoriety of designer practices since the 70s, the term design thinking was born in the early 2000s and became a mysterious sacred tool for innovation. She says that beyond representing the designer's way of thinking and practices, design thinking evokes the spirit and practices outside its original context. It is an approach to process that is promoted in a non-specialized audience of companies, allowing them to benefit from its logic and tools in order to see problems from a new perspective and to bring atypical solutions. Go check it out. I think it's an interesting approach to problem solving. I'd never heard of it. I'm quite interested in it, actually. Go check it out. Our fourth and second last story for the day, we have got The Transparent Brand, The Positives and Pitfalls of When Brands Bare Their Souls. This is from Matthew Edwards. I thought a decent little piece. He says, transparency is a concept that brands should not take lightly. It's one of the most popular terms in branding at the moment. Transparency is not just something brands can adopt in an attempt to be relevant and win the hearts and minds of the contemporary consumer. It is a culture that needs to live in every aspect of a brand and guide the way it conducts itself, both internally and externally. As he says, not a new term, but go check it out. Some decent thoughts there on kind of transparency in brands. And then our final and weekly regular, we've got Featured Job. This is Durban. We're representing Durban today. We never look at Durban. It's a decent, nice job up in Durban. Head of creative, senior position, 60 to 75K a month. Leading retailer based in KZN is looking for a head of creative to take the design department and communicate the brand's voice, identity, and values. Passion for what makes you create is welcome. Not too sure who the company is. There's couple of retailers based in KZN. I can think of the Mr. Prices, I know Massmart's up there. But yeah, that sounds like you go check it out. We are going to take a quick little song from the Black Keys, and then we're going to be back chatting IAB Bookmarks with Fred Rode and Hospitality Industry with Adam Campbell. We'll see you in a couple of minutes.
Takeouts, the Biz Community Marketing and Media Show on 2OV.FM.
So on the line with us, we have got Fred Rode, who is not only the CEO of Worldwide Creative down in Cape Town and Joburg, but also the head of agency council for the IAB South Africa. Fred, welcome to Biz Takeouts once again.
Hi, Warren. It's good to be back.
No problem. So as you know, we're chatting Bookmarks 2016 this morning. So I think give us a quick wrap up. What exactly is Bookmarks and what are the objectives of the Bookmarks Awards?
So the Bookmarks has been running for a number of years now. It is an event that essentially celebrates digital excellence. And I mean, since we started, I think it's 8 years now, I think it's really an 8th year of running these awards. It's really been about looking at digital as a category within all the various channels of marketing. And I think if we can look at how things have changed since those early years, I think we can no longer really call it a category. I mean, digital is threading into everything. So as a result, you know, the Bookmarks has grown. We now have 55 subcategories of awards, and it's a far cry from when from when we started. I think it's exceptionally exciting. If we look at the last event that was held at Turbine Hall in Johannesburg earlier this year, I mean, it was a phenomenal event. Absolutely extraordinary how much it's grown into something that's one of the main award ceremonies in the country at the moment.
I totally agree. And then obviously, as you said, it's kind of every year it gets a little bit bigger, a little bit better. But specifically this year, there's been quite a few changes to the actual entry process. I know there's something like called a one pager now. There's new categories that have been added. Do you want to take us through some of those changes and additions?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the key with the changes has been, it's been a summary of the last couple of years. We've really iteratively changed the categories over the years. I mean, if you look at all the feedback that's been given to us, we have, as participants of the judging process, and some of the top people in industry, and after each event, a lot of feedback from those individuals, and it's been difficult to do wholesale changes. I think, you know, when you look at the changes over the past couple of years, we've tweaked and we've changed little bits and bobs, but this year we've really taken it to heart to look at collating all the feedback that we received over the past couple of years, pulling it all together. We created a quite an established task team comprising of very high level individuals within the industry, agency heads. We've had previous judges on the ceremonies, at the ceremonies, and all getting together really to pull the feedback together, and decide, look, what's been working, what hasn't been working, and really kind of get to the point where we're at now. We've made, for the first time, I think, organization of the awards. Where in the past, I think there was confusion around the things. I mean, it's a natural overflow of growth of digital that, as a result, all the new categories, all the new areas that you could enter in, the categories started to become a little bit confusing. Yeah. So what we needed to do was really clean everything up somewhat. So I think that the key thing is looking at the top level categories where we had an uneven weighting given to the main categories, as well as some confusing segmentation between categories. Like an example would be, we'd have a top level category for email marketing, which has a niche focus compared to something like advertising and search, which is far broader.
Yeah.
So that was the first thing we did, was create broad categories that it was intuitive for people entering, and that were easily recognizable. And also sustainable over the next couple of years, so that we've got these new main categories, which are now broad enough to include subcategories that make sense to anyone entering the awards, but also allows us to cater for new niche areas that may arise we haven't even recognized, we haven't identified yet.
Cool.
So, I think it's quite exciting. And I think the TAR team has done a great job.
Yeah, to be honest, I've had a look at the categories. I think, as with digital, it's evolving all the time. So I like the way that they've evolved the categories as well, which I think is a good step forward. And I totally agree with you in terms of, like, every year judges have specific gripes and things that should help them. And I think those have all been kind of taken on board as well. And I think this year for the judges, I think it's certainly going to be a lot easier with the whole one pager approach. I don't know if you agree with that.
Absolutely. I mean, the one pager is very helpful. If you think about I've judged for, it's quite an onerous task. You have got an inordinate amount of entries to go through, and this is growing every year. So with the growth of bookings, obviously all these entries coming in, the judge's job is just becoming more and more challenging. So the one pager allows us quite quickly to identify the work that really sticks and that really works. I mean, as a judge, you have to make these calls, and therefore allow us to filter quite quickly through to the work that really needs to be scrutinized at a large level of detail in the second round.
Cool. And then, look, we are running out of time, so my last couple of questions for you. In terms of anybody entering the bookmarks, do you have any advice for them besides don't leave it for the last minute like we all do?
Well, enter now because time is running out. I mean, we've got it until Monday, so there's only a handful of days left. Mm-hmm. I would keep it succinct. I mean, it's about being a judge. I mean, again, I've judged a few times, and it takes time. It really does tax you as an individual to go through the detail. So the more succinct and focused your entry can be, the better it is for the judge.
Yeah.
You know, I think the biggest trap that somebody falls into is they try and put everything in. Obviously, so much work has gone into it's tempting to kind of, you know, to ensure that you include all that detail. But the reality is the judge doesn't have time for it.
Yeah.
So be focused, be succinct, and most importantly, try and zero in on what it is that you're trying to solve and make it as clear as possible right from the outset for the judges.
Cool. And then you're talking about judges now. Can you give us some kind of insight as to what exactly are the judges looking for? So what is the balance of kind of creativity, good ideas, platform versus results, measurement, that kind of thing?
Bookmarks has always, it really has always prided itself on results. So I think there's, you know, that still is maintained as bottom line for the bookmarks. But at the same time, you know, it's a span of technical prowess, of craft, you know, the actual creative input that's shown in the work. So that balance, I think, is very important. Obviously, you know, with the judge is still, despite the results, still going to be swayed by how creative the work is, how well technically the work has been executed. So those things are super important, and really just to get that balance right is critical. That said, of course, bookmarks is about results and about showing those results, and that still is really what sets the bookmarks apart. And I think the thing is, what we've seen across the board, even in more creative awards, is that, you know, if you are creative about work, if you really think hard about the rationale for the work, you know, the results will reveal themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So it's more about the bookmarks. We just take a little bit more scrutiny to you know, how those results actually appear.
Yeah, cool. Makes perfect sense. Thank you so much. I think before we wrap up, just kind of, so entry deadline is Monday the 30th of November. I know every year, I'm guessing you guys see a massive spike the closer it gets towards the end of the actual deadline.
Absolutely. And you can see it on Twitter as well. You'll have a look at all the banter that goes between all the agencies all rushing, you know, late at night trying to squeeze their last minute entries in. But I think the truth is, it takes, you know, an hour or two per entry to start slotting in all that information. So really, really don't leave it too late. Try and get it in as early as possible. And then, you know, save it that sweet Monday once you know that everything is done and dusted.
Yeah, well, look, you can take it from me. I did 5 entries last week Friday. It took me a good amount. It was probably half an afternoon to get it done. And I feel great now that it is done. So just
absolutely,
get it done. And, yeah, it's like ripping off a Band-Aid.
Absolutely.
Just do it quickly.
Yeah.
Fred, thank you so much.
Thanks
for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
If people want to enter, where do they go? IAB SA website, correct?
That is correct.
All the details. All the details are there, categories, rules, everything. So yeah, do it before Monday the 30th. Cool.
It's all there.
Thanks so much,
Fred.
We'll chat to you soon. And yeah, look after yourself.
Thanks for having me, Warren.
Cool.
Cheers, mate.
Cheers, Fred. Cheers, bye.
Biz Takeouts, the Biz Community Marketing and Media Show on 2OV.fm.
As I mentioned previously, we are chatting to, we're looking at the hospitality industry, so which is kind of a new avenue for Biz Takeouts. We've never really been down this road. So we have got online, we're chatting to Alan Campbell, who is the relatively new brand manager for Premier Hotels. Alan, welcome to Biz Takeouts.
Thank you, Warren. Great to be chatting to you.
No problem. So I think to start out, obviously, a big thing. Before we even talk about that, let's look at Premier Hotels as a company. Could you want to give us a quick rundown of the history of the group?
Yeah, it's actually a fantastic story. The group started in 1991 when our current MD bought an old sort of a classic hotel in East London. It was 40 bedrooms at the time, and the group has grown sort of exponentially from there. You know, his sort of biggest project that kind of put the group on the map was the development of the East London International Convention Centre. The 260-room accompanying Premier Hotel ELICC and the Regent Hotel just below it. Mm-hmm. And then from there, branched out into the beautiful Mpongo Private Game Reserve and then started to spread nationally.
Okay, because I know you guys have got a lovely hotel just down the road from my house in Seapoint. There's a very, very nice hotel in Seapoint.
Yes.
I know, so you guys are kind of bigger than what we expect. I think kind of moving along, so as I mentioned when we started this little chat, was like the hospitality marketing field is not really one of my fortes, so like it's all quite new for me. What do you think are the major challenges within hospitality marketing specifically at the moment?
I think for South Africa, it's an interesting environment because we are a big tourist destination. So it's that sort of marriage between understanding what the expectation is from international visitors, as well as catering to the local tourism market, both from a corporate traveler point of view and from a leisure traveler point of view. And understanding that your hotels need to speak to both and deliver on the requirements of both, which are fundamentally different in a lot of ways.
Cool. And in terms of like marketing trends, do you guys look in like, is it like a kind of like a base? Do you look overseas and kind of go, the European hotels are doing this, the US hotels are doing that? Like, are there trends that you follow? And obviously within marketing, there's lots of like buzzwords and catchphrases. So big data, mobile, content marketing, do all those kind of play into the marketing field within the hospitality industry?
Absolutely. I think one of the biggest transitions that the hospitality industry is currently going through is the transition to mobile. Mm-hmm. We're seeing more and more bookings coming from mobile, more and more reviews, more and more interaction with the actual hotel happening via the phone while in the course of a stay. The research and the travel inspiration that people sort of either get involved in or undertake is all kind of happening online.
Yeah.
And the majority of that is starting to be on tablets and phones, even in South Africa.
Mm. That's interesting, yeah. And in terms of data and kind of using data to make business decisions, is that big on the radar within Premier Group specifically?
Yeah, in trying to cater to the sort of needs of our guests and understand exactly what that is, business intelligence is a vital aspect of that. Understanding how long beforehand people decide to start investigating you is kind of the wrong word, but researching maybe is better. Researching their trip, seeing what other guests have said about you, and starting to look at the specific areas of the hotel that speak to them. So from a data point of view, we're constantly collecting, and there are some fantastic online resources for that, like your what we call OTAs, your online travel agents, places like booking.com, expedia.com, agoda.com, TripAdvisor, and then obviously we've got quite a detailed property management system that allows us to kind of understand what kind of guest is due to stay with us, and hopefully start already sort of putting in that individual effort to make sure that they get from their stay what they're wanting.
Okay, cool.
Content marketing is kind of driving an aspect of that as well, because as we start to understand more and more about what our guests are interested in beyond just bed or the hotel that they're staying at, what are their interests beyond that, and how do we get them to engage with us and start discussing things and what they're looking for from the destination, not just the hotel, but somebody who's coming to Cape Town, for instance.
Yeah.
It was spoilt with a wealth of activities and attractions in the sort of Seapoint Cape Town area, from Table Mountain to the V&A waterfront, to the different museums. So it's starting to talk to people about, you know, what should your journey look like? If you're somebody who's shopping, what's current, what's going on in the areas? And so content marketing starting to play a more vital role in just starting discussions with our guests and speaking to them about their interests.
And then in terms of loyalty programs and things like that, so I've seen that kind of on the rise within the hospitality industry, that there's lots of like, where every time you stay, you get points and you can spend it on this and that. Like, how important is loyalty in terms of hotels? Is it on the radar for you guys? Like, how important is it to reward loyal customers?
For us, it's absolutely vital. We're actually in the process of a redesign of our own loyalty program, which we call the Premier Royalty Club. It'll be relaunched in the new year as the Premier Royalty Rewards Program. But absolutely critical, you know, the hospitality industry tends to have very, very loyal customers. You know, people who stay in a hotel and really get from the experience what they're wanting tend to migrate back to that hotel again and again. I know when we were speaking a little bit earlier, you mentioned you were on your second visit to a hotel in Joburg, and that's 100%, you know, kind of thing that we see in terms of the behavior of our guests. Yep. You know, once they find an establishment that really suits their needs and that they get from what they're looking for, they'll return.
Yeah,
and it's important that, you know, we encourage that, we reward that loyalty, and that we start speaking to them in a way that not only encourages them to look at us beyond, if we've got a business traveler, for example, who uses us a lot for business, there's going to be a time of the year where him and his family or her and family are looking to take that trip for a little holiday. Mm-hmm. And we want to make sure that we're rewarding those business stays in a way that allows them to get greater value for them. Their leisure stay is an example when it comes time to book that. So that we speak to them on both need levels.
Yeah. Okay, well, to just give you an idea, this is probably my 20th stay in this hotel, and the last two, as you said, have just been like, this is the third one now, and the service, and just everything is just like lackluster of note. Like, I'm just not feeling the vibe. Everything seems a bit like I have to ask three times for coffee. That's just that kind of thing. Like, yeah. Anyway, I'm not yet to whinge about it.
I think you lead on to an important point, and you know, I think for a lot of guests who are regular stays at a specific hotel, they kind of expect that first wow stay to a degree each time they go. And the challenge for marketers in the hospitality industry is to kind of try and deliver that. You know, you need to be speaking to them about new and relevant things, both in room, yeah. So you know, that from when they're doing their research or their sites and the trip to the hotel, while they're there and on their phone, to inside the hotel environments when they're sitting looking at the menu in the restaurant, you kind of need to be talking to them about something new and something that's going to make their journey or their stay that little bit better or that little bit different.
Yeah.
You know, obviously we hope that you only ask for coffee once, mm-hmm. but beyond that, we need to be engaging customers across the board and in many different ways.
Well, it's another trend I've seen, and I'm getting it more and more in my inbox, is like the email marketing. So I've seen a lot of hotel groups are kind of focusing on specific events. So for example, Rugby World Cup, and they kind of do things around Rugby World Cup. Do you think that's kind of the future of hospitality marketing as well? It's kind of tying it into events, using email, trying to like draw feet into the hotel for specific occasions. Is that something on the table?
I think there are certain events which certainly lend themselves to it. You know, for instance, we've got the Half Ironman, which is coming up shortly in the beginning of next year,
yeah.
And that tends to book out the hotels in East London. Mm-hmm. So for you not to be involved with it or try and play a role within the event and actively engage people looking for accommodation for it, you'd be missing out.
Yeah.
I think the trick is to kind of do it in a way where, and specifically when it comes to email marketing, people are more and more protective of those inboxes, yeah. Because there is an alarming amount of spam and other things that tend to clog, you know, your day-to-day usage of it.
Yeah.
So, you know, as from my point of view, as long as it's relevant, as long as there's something on there you want to read, I personally don't like just an email with specials on it. I want there to be something on there that lets me read something I'm interested in, and if it then happens to be a special which is relevant or pertinent to me, spot on.
Yeah.
So, you know, if I'm somebody who is a great athlete and loves Ironman or triathlon or marathon, come back. And by all means, I want to see an email about the fact that there is this great event and that there is accommodation for me. Yeah. But if I'm not somebody who finds that interesting, I don't want to kind of have that in the clutter.
Yeah. Makes sense. And then we are running out of time, so I've got the last couple of questions for you. I know next year it's the hotel group's 25th anniversary. What are you guys planning around that?
Sure. We're very excited about it. So obviously we've got the relaunch of our royalty rewards program. We've got a relaunch of our website as well, which we've been working on very hard for the last little bit. We've got the launch of a content marketing campaign through social media. Yeah. And we've got a few events. One big one, which I'm very excited about, is linked to our royalty program. And it's sort of a selfie social networking drive to try to engage with our guests in quite a kind of fun way and provide a little activity at each of the hotels. Mm-hmm. There's much on the go. We're going to be very vocal in social media, trying to sort of tie all our activities and all our efforts together. Our rewards program is going to be a big launching platform for speaking about the 25 years, what we've accomplished and what we look to accomplish over the next 25 years.
Cool. Sounds good. So obviously exciting things happening next year. And then in terms of the hotel group, so besides the big year next year, the 25 years, what does the future hold for the group? Or what are your kind of growth expectations for Premier Hotels?
Well, we're at 14 hotels and resorts at the moment, and then the International Convention Centre in East London. Either in December or January, we'll be announcing two new acquisitions, a new hotel, the group, and a new resort in the group. We're very excited about that. Just on the timing before we give the exact details.
Of course.
And then there are two new developments which we're at the planning stages of, which I can talk about. One's in Mtata and the one's in, Mtata and Mshlanga.
Yeah.
Those are massive developments. Our MD and owner, Samuel Nassimov, is a property developer as well, passionate about that as well as the hospitality industry.
Yeah.
And he's got two massive developments on the cards for us next year in terms of that. And then we're looking towards the African continent in terms of expansion into the African continent. We have a lot of guests which are coming to South Africa, and we want to sort of start making the return journey and go to them a little bit as well.
Cool. Sounds good. Second last question for you. Someone's interested in getting hold of you to find out more about the hotel group. I don't know if it's going to be corporate bookings or just marketing, whatever it wants to be. Where do they go to get hold of you guys?
I guess the first point of call would be our website, www.premierhotels.co.za. Our contact form that we've got on there, we're quite proud of. We aim at a very fast response time. I won't share it with you just in case we drop the ball on one. but we're very quick with our responses on that. We see it as such an important thing when one of our guests or a member of the community wants to talk to us. You know, it's quite a privilege in a lot of ways. So we treat it as such and we try and jump on it.
Cool. Sounds good. My last question for you, and we always end the show on this type of question. So I know you guys recently appointed Grant Sandrum as the group sales and marketing manager. Who would win in an arm wrestle between you and Grant?
I would crush him.
You reckon? Done.
I would crush him.
There we go. Easy. Easy as that. Alan, thank you so much for joining us. Obviously, we'll be keeping a lookout for next year for the 25th anniversary, everything happening around there, the launch of the loyalty program. Yeah, good luck with all of that. Sounds like you're going to be a busy man.
Yeah, thanks, Warren. I'm very excited and looking forward to it.
Cool. Thanks for joining us. We'll chat soon. Cheers, man.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. Bye. And that is our show for the day. Thank you so much for joining us, spending the last hour with us. I hope it was useful and interesting and all of that stuff. Don't forget, you can check us out on www.biztakeouts.com or bizcommunity.com/biztakeouts. You can get me on Twitter at bizweza. As we said previously, go to YouTube, look for my channel, Warren Harding. There's some things coming. We've got plans for YouTube. That's it. We will catch you next week. This is episode 159, by the way, which I think I've done about 130 of those. That's a fair amount of shows. We've got two more episodes left for this year. We're looking at Native. We've got some interesting things from Native, a whole bunch of interviews from their heads of various departments, as well as an agency focus with Mortimer Harvey. We will catch you next week, same time, same place, Two Oceans Vibe FM, 9 a.m. on a Thursday. Until then, look after yourself, look after each other. Goodbye.
Biz Takeouts, the Biz Community Marketing and Media Show on 2OV.FM.